Hi everyone, welcome back to They Walk Among Us. This week, we're going to be talking about the murder case of teenager Haemin Lee. Specifically, I want to talk about its association with the injustices in our criminal system. But before I can talk about any injustices, I have to tell you about the case itself. Lee disappeared on January 19, 1999. Her family reported her missing after she failed to pick up her younger cousin from daycare around 3:15 in the afternoon. Lee had attended Woodlawn High School that day, and she'd been seen by multiple people leaving campus at the end of the school day. Now, as soon as police found out about this, they immediately began investigating this as a missing persons case, gathering all the alibis, possible sightings, who could have took her, you name it, they were looking for it. They wouldn't know until over 25 days later that she had been murdered and left for dead in a shallow grave in the middle of Leakin Park in Baltimore, Maryland. As soon as this case became a homicide, the police began their list of suspects, and at the top of their list was a man by the name of Adnan Syed. Adnan was an ex-boyfriend of Hay's, and they had had a pretty serious relationship until Hay had to break things off because of the stress it caused them, because they had to hide their relationship from both of their parents, who had extremely strict rules about who they could hang out with and who they could even date. Because of this breakup, police suspected Adnan to have killed her out of rage and anger for breaking up with him because of how much he had sacrificed for his family, his religion, and his friends to be with her. The main way the prosecution was able to keep Adnan as one of their main suspects in this case was with the help of key witness Jay Wilds, who admitted to actually being with Adnan basically the whole day the murder took place, and assisting Adnan with part of the actual crime itself. He eventually told police that Adnan had shown him Hay's body in the back of a Best Buy parking lot after he had killed her, and that he actually helped bury Hay's body in Leakin Park around 7 p.m. that evening. Jay's testimony was crucial to the prosecution's case. With minimal help from some phone records that corroborated some locations, police basically only had Jay's eyewitness accounts and what he said to them. Police were fixated on the idea that Adnan killed Hay, and that was that. There were no ifs, ands, or buts about this situation. It was he killed her, and that's that. They never put as much effort into investigating anyone in this case as much as they did to Adnan. They never talked to a man by the name of Don, who happened to be Hay's current boyfriend at the time she was murdered. They never really investigated Jay himself to see if he had more involvement than he was alluding to, or what he wasn't saying to them. And they never even really investigated the man who actually discovered Hay's body in the middle of Leakin Park, who had actually had run-ins with the law before. But nonetheless, the state believed, beyond a doubt, Adnan was the man who killed Haemin Lee January 13th, 1999. Now, let me tell you why Adnan didn't do it. Jay was the only witness the prosecution had, and he had a changing testimony that would magically, or not so magically, coincide or change a little bit when new information was brought to light by the police or prosecution. You know the phone records that were used to corroborate Jay's story? Well, that had a front cover page that was not even discovered until after Adnan had been sentenced that read, "Incoming calls are not reliable for location data." Well, guess what kind of calls were used to corroborate some of the locations in Jay's story? Incoming calls! This, along with many more inconsistencies, just go to show that Jay's testimony is just not reliable, and the prosecution should not be able to use the testimony of Jay Wilds in their case. On the same day Hay was murdered, January 13th, 1999, a woman by the name of Asia McLean claimed to have seen Adnan in the school library after school for over an hour and had had a conversation with him and hung out with him, which would make it impossible for Adnan to have killed Heyman Lee in the time frame of the prosecution. Jay's story was that Adnan never went near any libraries or even school grounds after school. Asia McLean sent two letters and was 100% willing to testify at Adnan's trial over what she thought. However, she was never even so much as talked to, even by Adnan's own defense team, even. This next one is kind of a big one, and it's basically what flipped the case for me into Adnan's favor. So when you die, your heart stops pumping blood around your body, and the blood basically stops in its tracks and pools where it's at. It's kind of like pouring paint on a paper and then tilting it around the paper to spread the paint. It leaves a trail of where the paint has been, but it also shows where it's going. And blood lividity is basically the same exact thing, except it's with your blood cells. And inside of the autopsy report, it said that Hay had what is called full flixed blood lividity on the anterior side of her torso, which means that Hay had to have been laying on her back long enough for all the blood to pool on her backside before she had could have been maneuvered and buried. Now, this is a fact, because there's no way to change where the blood pools in your body except by moving the body before full fixed blood lividity happens. This did not happen in this case. Forensic scientists could 100% conclude that Hay must have been had to be laid on her back for at least 8 to 10 hours before she was put in the back of a car and driven to Leakin Park and buried on her front side, where she was laid to rest. This does not coincide with Jay's, the police, or the prosecution's timeline at all. And the fact that this wasn't brought up during the case is even more surprising. So let's talk about where Adnan's at now. On February 25th, 2000, Adnan was found guilty of murder in the first degree, kidnapping, false imprisonment, and robbery, and he was sentenced to life in prison plus an extra 30 years. In order to try and get the justice that Adnan so greatly deserved, he appealed his conviction first in 2003, and sadly, it was denied. But then he came back in 2010 for an appeal on the grounds that his defense was terrible and he deserved a new trial because of that, and the judge didn't think so at that time, and he denied it. But then, when the popular podcast Serial came out in 2015, he decided to try his luck again, and this time, it was accepted by the judge, and he got all the way to the court appeals in Maryland in March of 2019, this year, and his conviction was sadly reinstated, and he went right back to prison. However, Adnan is not giving up hope with his new lawyer, Justin Brown, because what I didn't tell you before, but it was never even investigated during the trial, is that there just so happened to be, in Baltimore, Maryland, 1999, there was a serial killer that was accidentally released from prison while he was being transferred to a new facility, and it just so happened that all of those serial killers' victims matched the exact description of Heyman Lee.